Welcome to Winning the Global Talent War, a podcast about how leaders around the world are approaching global talent acquisition. I'm Jonathan Romley, CEO and co-founder of Lundy. My guest today is Matthias Schmeisser, Director of Talent at Beamery. Matthias is a data-driven talent acquisition leader on a mission to put talent transformation at the heart of every business. In this episode, we'll talk about how to grow headcount sustainably, the challenges that companies face when hiring across borders, how to design your recruitment experience like a product, and the opportunity for a new generation of talent leaders. So let's dive in. Hey, Matthias.
Hello, everyone. Happy to be on the show.
What are you most excited about right now?
Right now, most excited about actually seeing people again. I feel like after being in the pandemic and being a remote worker myself, then really seeing people again. I'm a people person. I always love to hang around with people, have conversations.
And where in the world are you right now?
I am right now in Berlin, Germany. And this is where I'm located.
I saw that you've recently visited your company's headquarters in London. How was that? Had you met your team before?
That was the first time I met my team. I started in April this year. And, you know, if you have seen them only through Zoom videos and calls, it's really exciting to see them in person. And it really helped us a lot to get to know each other, finally see each other. I think it really helped us to get a connection and really enjoy conversations and get to know us that much more.
How many people are at Beamery today?
Roughly around 210 people. Our growth trajectory is we want to grow up to 350 people, and that's something we have globally.
You're largely responsible for driving that growth from a recruitment perspective.
100%. My role there is to get everyone aligned on how we scale certain parts of the organization and how we collaborate together so that we understand how do we make that happen and to help the organization to get the right people in order to do more exciting stuff.
So what problems are you trying to solve right now?
The problems that we're trying to solve is how do you scale sustainable? You have seen this around the world most of the time. It's actually not a problem. A lot of people say it's a problem, but it's actually the approach. How do you approach the scale-up phase? And here are a couple of things that we need to fix. First of all, if we want to hire and scale, how do we attract people? How do we make them aware of Beamery? How do we excite them about what we are trying to solve? And that is something that we spend a lot of time on in order to really create that employer brand, that excitement, the stories around what we are doing. And I just recently came off of a data analysis where the candidates that talk to us, they would identify innovation and strong culture as one of the things that attracts them to Beamery, which is very interesting when you see, okay, how have we positioned ourselves? So innovation could be like from the product that we do, disrupting the market, but then really the strong culture piece is something that we put into our scheme. This is how we want to be branded. This is what it's like to work at Beamery.
How are companies like Beamery addressing the challenge to scale? What's the framework?
If you look at the big players at the moment, who has scaled tremendously? It could be a Spotify, it could be a Google, it could be a Facebook, it could be an Airbnb. What did they do in order to do that? It all starts with a healthy and mature hiring culture, because if you scale, you bring new people on board and they redefine your culture. So the question is, how good are you able to set up a hiring culture where everybody that you have this hiring mindset? We are continuously hiring. I know there are some brilliant people. How can we use them for our organization? How can they make us better? Now, this sounds easy, but it's a hard to do fact, because what you don't want to do is focusing so much on cultural fit, but you want to actually get for the cultural add part, which means all of those hires need to bring in something new to help you to achieve your ambitious goals in order to add something new to the culture, to add some certain new skill sets to the organization in order then to replicate them and even scale them again. And that is something that I have seen with US companies going much faster and smoother than it does go with EMEA companies. The reason is the hiring philosophy. Just imagine I would meet you for the first time and then I would say, who are you? How will I understand what kind of qualities you have? I think there's always this misconception around what does an A player look like? What is the prediction of future job performance? And what we can see there, that is a lot of people are focusing in Europe around technical skills. So for example, an amazing engineer needs to be super good in coding and frameworks and languages and infrastructure. What they don't do in assessment is the 20% of social skills. So technical and social skills, if you assess them, it should rather be 70 to 80% more assessment in social skills, attitude, mindset, way to solve problems, the way you communicate, the way you collaborate, then versus what do they actually know in their area. And so you see in US hiring that a lot of people would say, I don't do a checklist. If I like that person, I bring that person on board, versus where we in Germany or especially in EMEA do like multiple checks around, do they have that certificate? Do they have that experience? How long have they been in certain industries, et cetera, et cetera. But we all know by now, resumes are super biased. Reference calls are super biased because you talk to people and you might not know so much about what has happened.
I know it's early days, but how are you implementing that strategy in your organization today?
I think one of the things that is very important, and it starts with the basics, is do we have a structured hiring approach? You might ask that's super basic. Why would people do that? But if you just look at the whole topic around diversity, if we want to be fair to everyone and give everybody a fair chance, and you have a certain alignment creates speed. It gives you the chance to hire more diverse people in order to drive business growth. And so you need to have that structured approach. And that's something what we aim for. We want to aim to have similar stages for all roles to really get the data points. Where are we losing out? Where do we need to improve? Whoever we talk to, we have a set of questions. There's a structure in there. And that helps us to identify and compare candidates and make the best decisions based on our needs. That is something that I would highly encourage everyone to do. We need to start thinking in recruitment and hiring talent more about what kind of structure, what kind of system do I have in order to understand who is in front of me and how do I get to understand their skills in the best potential way.
How globally distributed is Beamery now? I know you guys are in the UK and I know that you're in Germany. How distributed is the team?
We have a huge US team as well, North America. The US remote, but we are focusing more on East Coast hiring. Then we have London, of course, the headquarter, but we also look at UK remote. We look at Berlin, but also look at Germany remote. That are the main areas and regions that we have in mind when hiring. And it's totally different markets. First of all, we need to recognize that as well. Everybody has a different approach. That is something where we need structure, but also certain flexibility to react to the way that people hire over there.
I'm from California. I wouldn't know what university in the UK to hire the best marketing specialists out of. I'm curious how your team is approaching hiring in the US. Do you have recruiters in-house that are in the US?
So here's the thing we had. We then moved to a London focused talent team, and now we're moving back again to a US team. And I think it totally makes sense. I think every organization, especially when we look at talent teams, should display and mirror the organizational setup, because the market knowledge is key for you to hire. And by market knowledge, not just that from the business, but also from the recruiters. So what kind of communities do we need to be connected? Where do we need our jobs to be displayed? And also understanding what people tell you. For example, a UK recruiter might struggle with understanding the labor laws in certain different states, right? So it's really good to have a team in the US. And then maybe the more interesting part is having a team there is great, but how do you approach this? And I think one of the things that we have seen is really working is if you reach out to people, if you look at the communities, if you connect the dots and leverage networks, and that is something that has helped us a lot. Hiring is a team sport. Imagine a company of 200 people. How many first, second, and third connections do they have? And how many people that would add up? And how much this is then a talent? I think it's that. And also the combination of the right tooling, the right technology to help you, plus the external partner that supports you. I would never say we don't do this without any external help as well.
When Beamery is hiring in Germany, what language are the job descriptions in?
English.
Why?
Why? Because we are a London-based company, so everybody that has trouble speaking English would have a hard time to really be a part and feel a part of the organization. I also have some Germans in my company as well. And the funny part is, if we have a session together, of course, we're going to speak German. What I love the most is if native speakers with the same language are in a room, they can do that. But immediately, once somebody joins that is not speaking that language, it switches automatically to English. And I think that's completely fair. And it's also very inclusive, right? Because how many times have I seen that organizations that come from maybe Berlin, maybe Paris, maybe Barcelona, tend to forget easily because of the biases, because the patterns they're used to that, speaking in their own language, and then forgot about the international colleague that they have, that they are not able to speak that language. And it's a very exclusive feeling that we need to actually flag and make sure that everybody feels included.
When a candidate is searching for a job, in what language do you think that they search for a job?
In their own language, first of all, 100%. And then I think Germany, or especially like Berlin. Berlin is maybe for people who are not so familiar with the German landscape. Berlin is a specific use case where you have a lot of internationals. You're in this city where you don't need to speak German and don't need to speak English, and you can still survive. If you want to learn about a culture and you want to feel integrated in that cultural system, the behaviors, patterns, societies, etc., language is very powerful. And you can only understand cultures well enough if you learn their language. In Germany, there's a huge topic currently about how do we use certain gender? How do we change our language to be more inclusive than we were before? And I think it's powerful. It's definitely something you shouldn't underestimate. But still, again, I think to make that transition and to come and move to a new country, I think English is a proper way of, you know, communicating. And we all start somewhere, right?
We have to start somewhere. That's for sure. Have you experienced any difficulties when it came to hiring people that were not in the same country as you?
So I think for me personally, my experience now over the last 10 years is I've never seen politics affecting recruiting that much as it did in these years. We had cases where we want to hire people in Russia and suddenly at the border, they didn't send the contracts through. They sent it actually back and we couldn't really get contracts across. Or we had people that we identified in the hiring process because it's in tech recruiting. It's most of the time remote. It's a common thing. So it's not something that the pandemic really changed for them. But we had people that we identified in Syria and they couldn't get their degrees because their school was bombed or the university wasn't there anymore. And they couldn't get a visa because of that. So trouble scenarios like that, where I'd be like, this is crazy. You identify someone, you want to hire someone, and given the regulations that you have or given the circumstances that they're facing in their country, they can literally not proceed that their next step in their career or their dream job or their relocation. So things like that has happened. And I think when you see suddenly a talent drain where talents are moving into EMEA because they go there for a better lifestyle, better healthcare system, better education for their kids, it's interesting that this is now possible and you see that happening. So if you look at statistics, for example, Berlin and Amsterdam, pretty hot cities at the moment where international talents are relocating and they have those companies on those jobs these days where they can actually do a really good proper job that they might have grown up and learned in the Silicon Valley or Bay Area to then do this in Berlin or Amsterdam.
How much of your recruitment effort today is a global search? Are you open to people that are not just in Germany, the UK, or the US? Now, whether that means they'll work remotely or if you'll relocate them, not really important. How much of that search is global?
How to overcome certain local talent markets is to really, you know, widen your net and have a more European or more global approach. Always work quite well and always let me hire better people or more people that I wanted. And so that is definitely a thing. We are really starting off, right? So we are not a company that has been like 30 years in the business, but we are definitely looking at the relocation strategies. How do we relocate and how do we make it part of the offer package to treat everyone fairly and say, okay, if we hire somebody who wants to relocate to Berlin or to London, how do we do this? And we don't care so much about where they're coming from, because this is also part of diversity. I think in the end of the day, the only thing that we should care about is what can they bring on the table? Who are they? And can I see them as a valuable asset to my team in order to then hire them? And then if you need to relocate, that actually helps you because you invest upfront in people and that builds a relationship and a commitment to also not just jump off the next gig. Clearly, what we are doing is We are looking also at Berlin and London, where we see a lot of people to relocate given what their preferences is. And the more locations you have as a company, the more you can choose where people want to relocate to. Because in the end of the day, if somebody sits in Berlin or London, it's not making a big difference. And if they have preferences to move to Berlin or to London, then here we go.
What is your big idea?
You should run recruiting like a product. You should think about, how can I create the most successful product? How can I make that work? Now, if you think a little bit more about it, for example, user experience. I want somebody that has amazing experience when they use my product. So wouldn't you as a company say, I want someone that I interview to have an amazing candidate experience, right? Because they fall in love by just getting to know the people that work in that company. They are interested in the challenges that we present them in the interview, and they are trying to being excited of solving them with us together. And so where I'm getting at is, if you look at successful products and how they have been built, look at the product thought leaders that are out there, look at also like design thinking approaches. What I've seen a lot of people making this mistake is they do this copy and paste, right? So they say, oh, how is Google doing it? How is Spotify doing it? And you could go on with that list. But most of the time, this copy and paste approach is not working because you, first of all, need to go into your discovery phase. You need to, first of all, understand what are the challenges that I have and how do I then understand the business needs and the problems better before I come to a solution. So give you one example there. When I started at Scout, my former company, a lot of people said before I started, oh, the Zalando guy, when does the Zalando guy start? And then the CEO said, wait a minute, it's not the Zalando guy, it's Matthias starts. And it's sometimes because Zalando was very successful in hyper growth in Berlin, Germany. And you could literally see and grave people for, oh, if you get a Zalando recruiter, a good one, and then this person can scale your company from 200 to 10,000 within the next 3 to 4 years. Now, when I read this and I really got some emails like that, I'd be like, are you crazy? Are you nuts? What are you trying to do? Scaling organizations like that fast? You don't know what you're getting yourself into. And I think that's why I'm coming back to my topic about scaling sustainable. It's about how much can an organization actually scale that we don't lose the people in 6 or 9 or 12 months from now? Because this is the time where maybe a CEO says, okay, you have hired so and so many people and they are actually making a career. They're actually making impact. So that's actually more important than hiring for the sake of hiring and scaling and then losing half of them by next year. So that's a little bit my idea around, look at it as a product methodology, approach it like that. Think a little bit more about what is feasible, what is valuable, how can I sustainably grow my organization? How do I also have a commercial business model behind this? Because I see a lot of people spending huge amounts in agencies, I'm not saying that's wrong, but you should definitely look at this. And it's one of the things my former CEO said. He said, Matthias, we're spending 1-2 million on agencies. I expect you within 2 years from now to be a CEO there. So now you go. And I think that's something that explicitly should be happening, right? If you build your team, if you create the value add, and to be more proactive and strategic as told function, this is something that you should not depend too much on only agencies. Yeah? And that's then the commercial value at part where a CFO says, okay, why do we have 20 recruiters? Oh, by the way, reduce the cost. And that actually helps. But I don't want to get into, this is just a cost-driven conversation. It's actually more of a value-add conversation, right? Because in the end of the day, we use products that add value to our lives. And if you think about it like that, and you run a function like that, that you become like a talent advisor and really help to strategically influence then the course correction or the course of a company, that's where you then made it.
What's the biggest opportunity that you see now in talent acquisition?
We need to spend more time growing people and get the smartest brain on there and help them to grow, help them to become future leaders or better practitioners. And I think if we continue doing that, we'll see a lot of more influx of new people that will help to disrupt the space with us. When you look at the big conferences, at the big thought leaders in talent acquisition, you don't see too many movement. And that is probably a problem. At least I can say that for EMEA, that I only see the same people all the time. And I would love that our profession is actually enabling much more people to come up with the ideas, to empower them and to become as successful as most of us are. And I think that is something that I definitely want to call out, because I think that's very much something that I so much love about my job, of giving people the opportunity to grow and really be at their best version of themselves.
Matthias, thanks so much for spending time with us today.
Hold up.
And thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the episode, share it with a friend, your colleague, or your talent team. If you have questions you want me to ask in a future episode or issues that you want to know more about, connect with me on LinkedIn. I've added the link in the show notes. So, hear you next week. Take care. All that. Bye-bye.